I've never been there. Paradise, like, you know, holy place, beautiful place. I don't know how to describe it.
Probably a place that, in everybody's, you know, in your mind, that would be the most beautiful thing you could imagine.
Like a perfect, perfect body, stuff like that, being in a perfect place. Pretty.
I believe in God. I don't believe in our hell.
Where you go when you die?
A better place than here. Even at the best time of your life, it's better than here.
Best place you want to be in?
Yeah.
Something cool.
Believe in heaven and kind of know.
Whatever you want, I guess. Whatever heaven would be like to you.
Clouds, I guess.
Yeah.
All that other stuff.
I don't know, because I'm not really into all that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a great place, just because we'll be able to return with our family.
Probably a lot like here.
Well, it's better than here.
Okay. But
without all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You introduced to God. Say there was a heaven.
Okay.
And you got to the pearly gate.
Okay.
And God were to ask you, why should I let you in my heaven?
I don't know. That's kind of hard. Like, I'd be like, well, you know, I do good things and all this other stuff I need.
I think I would tell him that, like, I tried to keep his commandments the best I could, and I guess I would just try to, like, ask him for forgiveness for all the things I've done.
I don't know if I should be let into heaven.
Sometimes you're a better person. I don't know. I try to defend myself the best I can.
And then I keep it to heaven.
There's nothing that doesn't fit in people and my family members and all that.
I don't know. I go to church like every week. You know, I've been trying to worship as much as I can. I've got to do stuff.
Not so much about what you do, but it's how you are with people. And I think I'm pretty good with people. Like, I don't hate a lot of people or anything. And so I think that's probably pretty good.
Because I'm cool. Because it'd be better than hell.
Better let me in there because I don't want to go down the hill. That's all I know. Yeah. Like, I'm getting in there somehow, whether you let me in or not, I'm jumping those gates.
I think I was the first one out here and I didn't do anything that I would regret because
I've lived a spiritual, faithful life and I've asked for forgiveness and I know I've seen that you've forgiven me.
We can somehow have a lot of good life.
Okay.
You know, if he wants me to believe in him, he should make it a little easier.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Should make it a little easier, huh? It is easy. It is easy. Whenever I see these man on the streets videos, and we had fun doing that. And breaking bread tonight, breaking bread is a time to get our eyes on Christ. And when I see people that are lost, like I believe a lot of people on that video are lost, it breaks my heart. And I hope it breaks your heart too. It stirs me up. I want to tell them that there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And He wants them in heaven with them forever. We need to tell people that. We need to shout that from the mountaintops. We need to stand and deliver. Jesus Christ loves you. He wants you to be in heaven. That word, I just like saying it. I've been saying all week, heaven. You know, it was brilliant for 7-Eleven. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Heaven. I just like saying heaven. think I got a clicker here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Most people have an opinion on heaven, and most people will give it to you. We didn't have much trouble finding people that want to talk to us about heaven, because everyone's intrigued, myself included. I want to know about heaven, and the more and more I know, the more I don't really get it, but it's amazing. I come to realize that this is probably a 24-week series. This is not a one-night thing, heaven. But we're going to touch on heaven. And I think it could change the way you think about your faith. When you see videos like this, maybe you think, oh, those people need to know how easy it is to get to heaven. There are people in here that don't know how to get to heaven or how easy it is. And lots of us think that it's just kind of like this, just kind of clouds, you know. And when we get there, if we do get there, it'll be just kind of on, you know, tring, tring, tring. And now I'm in heaven. Tring. And it's like, you know what? That's not really attractive to me. I'm not interested in doing that forever. Heaven is going to be special. And hopefully tonight we can share that with you, how I think it's going to be incredible. Heaven's going to be incredible. But the world will tell you. The world has opinions about heaven. Webster's definition of heaven: the expansive space that seems to be over the earth like a dome. A place or condition of utmost happiness. That's what the world would tell you. We would like to, and us as humans, I think we like to compartmentalize heaven. Yes, it's a dome, and there's clouds, and we'll be happy. That's as humans, that's how we try to look at it, I think. It's got to be like that. I like what Keith Green had to say about heaven. If your heart takes more pleasure in reading novels or watching TV or going to the movies or talking to friends rather than just sitting alone with God and embracing Him, sharing His cares and His burdens, weeping and rejoicing with Him, then how are you going to handle forever and ever in His presence? You'd be bored to tears in heaven if you're not ecstatic about God now. Jesus Christ wants you to be in heaven. And we get distracted because we don't live in heaven right now. We're in the world. And I like the quote, I don't know who it was by, but this world that we're on, that we're living on, is like a lump of coal compared to the diamond the new earth will be. There'll be a time where we'll be in heaven. And then it'll actually be a new earth. And it'll be incredible. It's a place for me and you. A special place. You know, as I clicked into my computer program to start this teaching, I typed in heaven. 618 verses on heaven. I just thought, oh man. Oh man, look at this. Look at this place. The further I got, I just lost myself in it. I just wanted to be there. To live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. There, heaven is special. I really believe it is. And I think it needs to be part of our faith. That yeah, this earth is only temporary, and then we're going somewhere else. To heaven. And oh, is it going to be different? So, is heaven real? Got to start there. Is heaven real? Is Jesus Christ real? Is Satan real? Is hell real? Is heaven real? Do you really believe that? 618 verses in the Bible have heaven in it. The Bible, God breathed, is the truth. In the Bible, says heaven is real. Read the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does God tell us? Heaven is real. Bank on it. Heaven is real. Continue on in Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Something happened. Heaven was created. This is the account of the heavens and the earth. When they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. I'm convinced. Heaven is real. I love it when the worship team, when the worship band sings the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We just pray that without even... We're asking Him to be with us. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And He says, I love you so much. You're beautiful. I will be with you. I'm right here. I'm on earth and I am in heaven. The relationship with me doesn't have to end. It's forever. It's for eternity. Our destiny is eternity. So, what is heaven like? What's heaven like? Let's try to look at it. Heaven would hardly be heaven if we could define it, by William Dieter Wolf. Heaven would hardly be heaven if we could define it. It boggles my brain. When you speak of heaven, let your faith light up. When you speak of hell, well then, your everyday face will do. Charles Freeman. Amen, Charles. But, you know, the things we equate heaven with, like, you know, ice cream, and there's you know, sports. You know, when I was a younger man, I used to like to play softball, because it didn't hurt as much as it does now. But I was recruited by this team in my hometown, and it was the local tavern, the local bar. We had our own team. And I was 18 years old, and We were the goofiest, rowdiest bunch of people you ever laid eyes on. And the owner of the tavern, of the bar, he would buy us a keg of beer, win or lose, every time. So we had straw cowboy hats, and we were just this goofy team, and we thought we were just really something. And we never really won that much. I think we got third place once in something that didn't really matter. But I can remember... just a slice of heaven for me one time. We had this ringer that we recruited from another town. I grew up in a small town in Iowa, and you didn't have a lot of ringers in your, you know, most of the farm boys were out working. So we recruited this guy from another town, about 20 miles away, and he was a ringer. And what that means is when he stood up, he would hit a home run, guaranteed. He says, Big John. Big John, get up. Bye. Just put it into orbit. Whack! So one time our team... we were fighting with one of the better teams, and we were hanging with them, but they were beating us, and we were behind by 3 points, last inning. Okay, we get up, and bang, everybody's hitting it. We got bases loaded, and who's up? Big John. And we're like, game over, dude! Big John! So Big John walks up there. No, wait, there's only two people on, because they intentionally walked Big John. There's only two people on him. And that loaded the bases. They intentionally walked him. And I was next. I'm like, oh, man. But I got up there, and I was just bound and determined. And I don't know if I had my eyes open or not, but I hit a home run. I hit a home run. It's like the whole team's going, oh, no, Max up. What happened to John? But I got up in there, and... oh, that feeling was like heaven. It's like, grand slam! I did it! I hit it over the fence! And I was like running the bases! Heaven, dude! Today we played in the golf tournament, and I'm not a very good golfer, and rarely do I hit one, but I think maybe once I kind of hit one that was... it's like, man, I just ripped their face off of that thing. And it's like heaven. Or maybe if you're a dancer and you go to somewhere and the perfect song's playing. And it's just like incredible. Or if you're a musician. And I know Steele talks about sometimes getting in the pocket when he's playing. And I don't really understand what that means, but I think it's really cool. I wish I could go there. It's like heaven. Or just the perfect backhand in tennis. Just ripping it. It's just like, when you think it's going to go off that way, and it's just right over the net. I hit that. Heaven. We think that helps you think of heaven. What's heaven like? A football. If you're playing on a team, I always had this dream. I never was much of a football player, but I like to watch it, so I like to kind of think I could be, maybe. So at the end of the game, fourth quarter, I used to do this with the kids, with the neighborhood kids, you know. It's the fourth quarter, there's 10 seconds left, and you're the one, man. You're throwing the pass, and you're like, intercepted. Yes, you just barely grab it and run all the way. It's like, yes, heaven. Oh, don't we all want to do that? Don't we want to experience something like that? Or with your wife, when everything's going just right, take her out to dinner, and you've done everything right. I rarely do that, but every once in a while, and you're saying the right things, and you're feeling good, and you're looking good. Tonight, honey, like heaven, me and you, God created you and I. This is right. This must be what heaven's like. Jesus teaches us about the kingdom with parables in the Bible. Parables are good for me because I like stories. So I like it when Jesus tells parables because I can relate to that. It's kind of like when Bill talked about his thumb hitting with the hammer. And I could just totally relate. I just like that story just unfolded for me. But Jesus teaches us those parables. So let's look at some of these parables. So Jesus says in Matthew 13:31, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. I don't get it, so his disciples, you know. But to the crowd he was preaching to, a mustard seed was very familiar. Little tiniest seed around, just a little tiny seed. And actually the mustard plants, I have a picture one here. It's kind of distorted because I want to make it look bigger, but it's really not that impressive. It could get to be about 10 feet. But everyone was familiar with it. It was like that day, it was like maybe their broccoli or something that they put on a sandwich. I don't know how they ate it. But they all knew what it was. So it's this 10-foot plant, and Jesus says, take this little seed. The kingdom of heaven will be like that, and it will grow. And I've planted a lot of things in my day. My parents were gardeners, and I've seen a lot of things grow from little seeds into big plants. And the kingdom of heaven is growing. And lots of times trees, you know, you talk about your family tree and how that grows and grows and grows. And the mustard thing, I think they understood probably like their mutton and mustard seed sandwiches that they used to have all the time. So I understand the mustard plant, Jesus, yeah. He's just telling them, it just grows and grows and grows. The kingdom of heaven is growing all over the world. It's growing and growing and growing. He said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Come on, Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So what yeast is, so you imagine a big bowl of flour, just the white stuff, and you put the yeast in there, mix it all up, and all mixed up perfectly. And when it's baked, it's all mixed perfectly. So the way I see it, the kingdom of heaven is like a rising tide And it just mixes through everything. And it's growing. It's growing. Slowly but surely, Jesus is winning all of us to himself. And it's growing. And it's growing. There are more Christians right now than there ever was. In fact, the number is just phenomenally multiplying. People are getting saved all over the place. And it's growing, and it's spreading, and it's growing. And we're called to be part of that. And when we see people that are lost, you tell them that Jesus Christ is real, and there is a heaven, and he wants you in that heaven. And it's easy to get in there. It's not hard. I can show you. Here's the word. It says right here. And he continues to teach us in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That's one parable. Again, there's another one. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. In the day, they didn't have banks. So what happened with their treasure, their worldly possessions, they would bury. They'd bury it in a field or hide it somewhere. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And what the man did was he discovered a treasure on this land that was for sale. So he sold everything he had, his Babe Ruth baseball cards, everything that he had. He sold out. I am sold out completely. Everything. My home, everything that's dear to me. It means nothing to me. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to pour everything into that piece of property, into that land, into that treasure. And so then he gets that piece of land and there's his treasure. Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a pearl, a fine pearl that a man took and sold everything out. Sold out everything to get one little pearl because it was so precious. That pearl is more precious than anything the merchant had. So he sold out. Jesus is telling us to sell out and live for him. That convicts me. Am I sold out completely? This earth distracts me. I don't know about you, but this is just a temporary time. This lump of coal, this earth, is just a temporary thing. We're called to be sold out. There's people that need to know Jesus Christ. Does that stir you up? Or does this world blinding us? Church, I'm calling to you. Come beside me. Let's shout it from the mountaintops. Everyone needs to know, because there will be a time when every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a promise. There will be a time. The time is short. And I think right here Jesus is saying, sell out for what I have for you. You have no idea. Don't get distracted by this world. Sell out for heaven, for me, for Jesus Christ. I like this quote by C.S. Lewis. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. We are. This world can seem so strange and weird at times. Can it? It's not necessarily a good fit. For me anyway. It confuses me. Angers me at times. I feel lost. But I'm not. Because Jesus Christ is taking care of me day by day. And he promises every step of the way, he'll be with me. He'll take care of me. He'll hold my hand. He'll wipe away my tears. Oh, I love that. More parables. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, threw the bad away. This is similar to the parable of the weeds. When the farmer planted his seeds, and the evil one came and planted weeds all in the seeds. And they thought about maybe pulling them up, but they're afraid if they pulled the weeds out, they'd pull out the good seed too. So Jesus was preaching to a lot of fishermen, I think. And they knew very well what it was like to sit at night and separate the fish. That was their job. And they probably knew very good, very well, very completely what the good fish were and what the bad fish were. Let's get this job over so I can get home to my wife. The kingdom of heaven will be like that. There will be a choice. There's not a halfway point. Cannot be halfway. Either you're going or you're not. And it's our choice. That's very clear in the Bible. It's our choice. Each and every one of us is called to make that choice. Who will be in heaven? Could have really went on a rabbit trail with this one. It was fun. It all came back to Jesus Christ. It all came back to God. Who will be in heaven? Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and the earth below. There is no other. Look at some more verses. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. God is in heaven. There will be a time, He promises, that we will be with God in heaven. And you know what? That is going to be when living by faith is going to go just to a whole new dimension. Because there He will be. God will reveal Himself to us, to you and to me. And I think what it boils down to is selfishness. We'll get there and we'll realize, it's not about me. Oh my goodness, look at this King. Look at this God. Look at Jesus. And everything else just won't matter. It won't matter that my dad cheated on my mom. It won't matter that sin is just rampant in this earth. It won't matter that someone cut me off in traffic. The tsunami had a reason. The hurricanes, all of it. God had it in control. He knew exactly what He was doing. There were no problems. There were no accidents. This King, this glorious God, knows what He was doing. What He is doing. And when we stand before Him, we'll go, oh my. And we won't be selfish anymore. We won't think about me. We'll just go, oh, this is just so right. Heaven is where God's at, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. But why did my friend Tom die so young? Why were people raped in the Superdome? It just doesn't make sense to me in my human mind. Why all this yuck and crap? At that time, I think things are going to line up and make sense. Boom, 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 boom. You know what? No pain, no sorrow. No sore knees, no sore back. No sin. Oh my goodness. No sin. We will not sin. Finally. We will not be battling that. And we will be right where we were meant to be all along. With God in heaven. And oh, it's going to make sense then. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God does not need me and you to spread his gospel all over the world. God does not need a team of us to go to Italy to see people saved. He can do it very much by himself. Thank you very much. But I think he wants us to. I think he wants us to. I think he wants us to shout it from the mountaintops. Oh, my kids, they're talking about me again. He doesn't need us to do that. He can do that very easily by himself. He's God. He created us. He doesn't need us, but he wants more for us. He has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. He wants the very best for us. He's promised that he's given us his Holy Spirit to change us to be more like him. He's done that. He's sealed that in us to change us, to fix us, to keep us away from sin. He just says, get up and go and sin no more. I love you. You know what? That's paid for. My blood on the cross, that's a finished, done deal. Go and sin no more. And if you want to step out in faith and go to Italy, I love it when you do that. My child, step out. Here's the grasshopper verse. I don't think you guys are going to forget this one. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. And maybe I'm odd, but that paints a picture for me. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. So, say we're like grasshoppers. Okay, I picture the state fair with a glass enclosed thing full of these little grasshopper dudes, you know, and they're like, you know, and they're banging against the glass, and they probably don't have enough food, so they start eating each other's legs and stuff, and it's just like stepping on each other, you know. And they're just trying to get out, bouncing against the glass. You know, that's our life. And I wonder sometimes maybe God doesn't think we look like that. You know, I was walking up by the park by my house the other day, and I was praying. God is so kind to me to show me little object lessons. And I was at a pretty good clip, because when I get praying sometimes, I kind of get lost in that. And I was thinking of the grasshopper verse, and what do you think? So grasshopper, like, right there, man. And I was cooking, and it's like, and it's a good thing I'm not God. Because I just was squishing. You know what? I think they're creepy looking, and I don't care. But I'm human. But I'm human. I can't think and love like our God. I can't think and love like our God. He sees those. He sees that little. I let him go, by the way. I didn't squish him. He sees them. And you and me as beautiful. We are too beautiful. He could do that. I would think at times, why not, God? And there have been times when there was a flood. There was a flood. Maybe the grasshoppers were getting on his nerves. I don't know. But he promised he'll never do that again. He loves us too much. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. Because he does see us as beautiful, more than we can comprehend. And we are his bride. And he wants us to be in heaven with him. He wants us to share the new earth with him. Oh, that's going to be incredible. So how sure are you that you'll be in heaven? We asked some of the people that question in the street. I like what B.L. Moody has to say. Men full of the Spirit can look right into heaven. Oh, I want to be that man so full of the Spirit that I can look right in and see my God. Sometimes he gives me just the littlest of glimpse and just I can't hardly handle it. God, you are something else. How can you do that? How can you be like that? Because I'm God, you're not. And you never will be, Steve. Okay, God. I guess I just need to accept that. But we need to settle this. We need to know. And you might say, you know, I've been a Christian all my life. I know. Dude, if I were to ask you, how sure are you that you're going to be heaven? Have you planted that flag? Are you sure, Christian? And if you never heard this before, hallelujah, it's not by accident that you're here. Are you sure? I meet a lot of people that thought they were sure most of their life. And really, all they really were was engaged. They met Jesus, heard some cool stories, got presents at Christmas, Easter candy. You knew Jesus. Well, I've known Jesus all my life. Well, have you ever given yourself? Have you ever really genuinely stepped into that life? Because if you have, you're different. You are different now. And you got to be able to look at that and say, I am different. Oh my goodness. I am different. It's like being engaged until you're married. Maybe you've never really been married to your God. Maybe you've never really said, I do. I believe you. It's that simple. You and I have sinned against the Holy God. But He loved us so much, I can't hardly understand how He could, me, personally. He loved me so much. I can't hardly understand that love. I've never experienced any other way. That He came here specifically to die for my yuck and muck and sin and rot. I'm a wretch. He said, I love you. You're beautiful. You're not just a grasshopper. He came to this earth for a specific purpose, to die on the cross for my sins, for my yuck, for my brokenness, for my fallen nature, for you and for me. He came for us, to die for us. Because He's perfect. He had never sinned. We do. He had never sinned. He's a perfect sacrifice to take on that. And He did it. And He went through with it. And on the cross, His dying breath, it is finished. Jesus Christ, it is finished. I've taken it on. There is victory here over Satan. And it's that simple. To repent and admit it. That, yeah, I do sin. And I do believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I put my faith and trust in that. I sit in that corner. I plant my flag. I marry. I do. I accept Jesus Christ into my life genuinely. It's not just a mental exercise. It's a giving of ourselves. And it's asking, receiving Jesus Christ. It's incredibly easy. And He promises that forever, for eternity, you'll be with Him in heaven. That's just what this book tells us. You can be in heaven. You can be there. You will be there. I will be there. I don't know about any of you, but I'm convinced. And it's changed me. And I genuinely care for people that don't know. I can't explain it. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it's maddening. But people need to know this. And we're called to tell them. To stand and deliver. Oh my goodness. Not because God needs us to. Because He wants us to. That's the life that He's prepared for us. He wants us to. He wants more for us than we can really understand, than we even understand for ourselves. He wants more than new kitchen appliances in your life. He wants you to live a full life, committed and devoted to Him in preparation for heaven. Because that's going to be a whole lot longer time period. You can't measure it than the one that we're living right now. Boom. This life. Boom. So we have a deliberate choice to make. Heaven or hell. That's our choice. I believe it comes down to that. Heaven or hell. heaven or hell, what are you going to decide? I know God wants you with Him. I know I want you with Him. But it's your choice. It comes down to yourself. Your choice. You can turn and walk. And maybe you think you've been a Christian for a long time, but you've never really said, I do. Make up your mind today. Don't be washed around. Don't stand on the fence. Don't get tossed around like a wave at sea. This life is too short. It's time to check into heaven. God is there. God is here. God is living in us. Once you pray and receive Him into you, He promises His Holy Spirit lives inside you and He'll help you at those crossroads. And He'll tell you where to go. Turn over there. Oh, look out. Go there. Look in the Word. Don't do that. I love you too much. I've got a plan. Please obey it. Please look at it. Don't miss it. Look at the map. Look at the directions. And try to build it by yourself. There's some verses that just seal it for me. It's not a question. Because this is God breathed. This is God's Word. I believe it. It's true. I believe it with all my heart. It's the truth. There's a lot of lies out there you can listen to. This is the truth. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. It's a promise to you and to me. If you received Him, you believed in Him, you're a child of God. And you will be in heaven. And the new earth, eventually. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. And will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. You can be 100% sure that you're going to be in heaven. That seals the deal. Has eternal life. So I should be able to come up to you and say, how sure are you that you'll be in heaven tonight? You can give me an answer. And it's either going to be 100% or not. Because this promise, this is the truth. This is from God. We'll look at some more. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not hidden. It's not hidden. So that you may know. God doesn't want us to live our lives not knowing. He says, so that you can know for sure and live your life accordingly. Because you know that you're going to heaven. And it's a beautiful promise of a beautiful place. I can only imagine that song. I like that song. I know where it came from. I can only imagine what it would be like. And my imagination runs away with me sometimes. But I think, oh my. Oh. Heaven. It's where I belong. You know, and if you've never heard that before, I'm going to give you a chance to pray with me right now. I'm going to end tonight with that. That you can know 100% that, yeah, you can go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ for sure. And you can know that tonight. It's that simple. Heaven is a free gift that God is offering you. Here's your free gift. Heaven. All you have to do is accept it. And it boils down between you and God and repenting and turning from your sins and telling Him, Jesus Christ, I believe that You really did die on the cross for me. I believe that, Jesus. I repent from my sin. Please forgive me. I put my trust in that. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we live in a world that's in the need of a Savior. And we have one, and Jesus Christ is available to everyone in here and to me. So I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and you could pray something like that. I'll pray something that you could pray to ask. You can seal the deal tonight. You don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven or not. You can know. So let's pray together. Jesus, I know I'm going to be in heaven with you. And I thank you that you have not hidden that for me, God, because I needed to know that. That I'll be in heaven with you forever. Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for me. I thank you for that. I invite you into my life. I swing open the door and ask you, come into my life, Jesus Christ. Thank you that there was a time in my life when I did that, I invited you in. If there's anybody in here, Jesus Christ, save them tonight. Tug on their hearts, God. Invite them to heaven. Show them the way. God, it is you that saves people. It's certainly not my goofy little prayer. God, it's you that's calling people. I believe that with all my heart. So if you don't know your Savior yet, I pray you just pray something like this. Jesus Christ, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. I open myself to you. Please forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Please come in and save me. God, I give myself to you. I'm yours. I'm yours completely. Forever and ever and ever. I'm your bride, God. I want to be married to you forever, ever, ever. Please come into my life. Jesus, thank you that you want to do that for people. Thank you that you did that for me. Thank you that you continue to love me beyond what I can even comprehend. It's so strange. Why would you love me so much to die for me? You're amazing. I can't wait to be in heaven. If it's anything like just thinking about you and learning about you, God, I just can't wait to be with you forever and ever and ever in heaven. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.